You're listening to Charlotte Community Talk with your host, Scott Pridemore and Mike Hagee.
Scott Pridemore with Charlotte Community Talk Podcast. Today we welcome Tim Rhodes and Jeff Cooper with Run Charlotte Neighborhood Tour. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Definitely. So, you know, with all of the official running events, you know, the traditional running events having been canceled or changed, talk to us a little bit about how you guys are being creative and pivoting in order to still have events for runners, if you don't mind, if we can get into that.
So I think there's two parts to that answer. The first is, you know, the in-person events and, you know, the ones that you have on a Saturday morning. It's really trying to figure out the right time that we can enter back into that space and do it safely with social distancing and safety precautions that mitigate as much risk as we possibly can, reduce touch points. And those events aren't going to look the same. You know, you're not going to have the crowded start line anymore. You're not going to have award ceremonies for a while. So it's trying to figure out when we can get back to that. The other piece of it, and the answer, quite frankly, is we just don't know, because, you know, phase two is set to expire June 26th, although expire doesn't mean it goes away. I think it either at some point you say we're going to extend it a couple of weeks, or we're going to go to phase three, but nobody knows what phase three looks like, or we could go back to phase one if things, you know, skew the wrong way. So then it's like, all right, can we do some virtual events and give people an opportunity to still set and achieve goals and get out and be healthy and have fun and have some sort of experience? And the answer is yes, but it's a noisy space because everybody can do it from the comfort of their own living room, and it doesn't require being on site. And so there are a lot of virtual events out there. So then the challenge becomes, what can we do to create something that's unique that somebody would kind of pay attention to and say, hey, let me check that out a little further, or let me tell a friend, because this sounds something more than just a, hey, go out your front door, run a 5K, pay us $20 and we'll send you a t-shirt. That's not where we're at.
I have seen more people running during this pandemic. I mean, I don't think it's my imagination. Yeah, you know, just definitely. Driving through town, right? Am I right? Yeah.
I mean, a lot more people have been running. Like, I, at the beginning of this, I was going to the Greenway because I'm like, yeah, I'll socially distance there. And then I was like, there's more people here than like anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness they haven't shut the outdoors down, right?
Yep.
Right. You know, we can still get out and get some fresh air.
But, you know, so gyms are closed. So there are a lot of people who are turning to biking, running, walking. And if you look at the foot traffic at Run for Your Life, our store, it's just incredible. And at times it's a little uncomfortably busy. You know, busy is always a good thing, right? But when it gets, when you're so busy, you want to make sure that you deliver the great experience that everybody has come to expect when they walk in. When it gets busier than you anticipate, that's when it gets a little uncomfortable.
But definitely. So, So Tim, tell me a little bit about the neighborhood tour.
So, you know, we recently rebranded. I started in the running industry back in the mid 90s. I've been a runner since high school in the 70s. So you can do the math on that and figure out what demographic I'm in. But I moved to Charlotte in 93. And by 95 or 96, I really felt like I could make a difference in the event space with in the running industry. And so I started some events. I started a company called Event Marketing Services. And we were really here to produce and market running events in the Charlotte area. Timing and scoring became part of our business model. We'd work on somewhere between 40 and 60 events every year And so recently we've really rethought the business model of what it looks like to engage with the community and the audience. And so we rebranded. So Event Marketing Services really doesn't exist anymore. The new brand is Run Charlotte, and it's about events, but it's really in larger part more about content and media and information and community and engaging partners with the audience that we have. So, you know, our audience is over 50,000 people. So when we talk to partners or potential partners, we don't say, hey, we'll have 1,000 people out at the 5K on Saturday morning. We talk about the 50,000 people that we talk to on a regular basis. And so with that, one of the missions of Run Charlotte is to get people running and walking and to create more of an active community and a healthier community. And so, so many people, like me included, run out the front door. You got four or five different routes that you run every day. Sometimes I run from work, so I've got two or three routes that I run from there, but I'm kind of limited in the number of routes that I run, and I don't really get to see what else is going on in Charlotte. So we thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could get people to check out other running routes in the city in different areas? So what if somebody's never run the cross-country course down at McAlpine Park? What if no one's ever gone up to the business park in Huntersville and run a 5K? And so we put six courses together that have a decent amount.
You've run these courses.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Good.
So we put them together and said, hey, you got 6 weeks to run six courses. So you can do it one a week. You can procrastinate and wait until end of July and run them 6 days in a row, or go run them all in one day. It doesn't really matter. And it doesn't matter how fast. It's just the idea that, hey, if you want to experience different parts of Charlotte, this will kind of freshen things up for you and give you a different perspective and a different experience. So it was really born out of that idea that, what can we do to shake things up and just make them fresh and open people's eyes to the rest of what's going on in the Charlotte community.
So what I want to hear from each of you, which is your favorite course?
I'd say the booty loop is probably my favorite. I've run it a few times and it's cool just to like time yourself when you're going around. I've never been like the fastest runner, but I got into running maybe like 2-3 years ago into long distance running, and a few of my friends are like the fast sprinters, and it's like, okay, let's, you know, jump on this course. I'll finish 8 minutes after you, but that's okay. You know, I'll like get faster because I'm a long distance.
I can appreciate that.
Right.
And I can also appreciate that you probably get a decent amount of shade on that loop.
Oh,
see, I don't have anything to give me natural shade, so I gotta get the tree shade.
Yep, you got all the trees there. It's a nice spot. But when somebody flies past you, you're like, I wonder how fast that dude was going.
Right.
I like the booty loop. I've never actually run the booty loop, but I've ridden the booty loop many times. But I'll go a different direction. As much as I like the booty loop, I'll go McAlpine. I think there's just something, there's some history there. You know, it's kind of like going to Lambeau Field or Wrigley Field or Fenway Park and just saying, hey, this is one of the all-time courses for Charlotte. How many people have run on that course? And not just locally, but nationally, how many people have come and competed in high school or collegiately and run that 5K? And it, you know, you get Wendy's and you get Foot Locker and you get so many different events that come to McAlpine. It's just incredible. And it's flat and it's out in nature, so you're not battling any traffic. And it's gravel and there's only one big hill. Mm-hmm. But it's just a cool course, and there is some shade too.
On that McAlpine, real quick, on that McAlpine, you're not branching off into the trails.
So the cross country loop is pretty much on the trail. So it's not a linear course. It's it's a big loop, and then it's a little bit of a figure eight around the lake on the back half of the course. So you'll actually go, technically you go around the lake twice. But it's, it's just,
You said one hill, maybe I'm just more sensitive to hills. I remember more hills.
It's like one hill, but you're just on it for a little while. You go like up a little and back down. And yeah.
It's not like running up Moorhead.
Yeah.
It's
I hear you.
But it's short, and you'll get over it. No pun intended, or pun intended. But it, you know, the other thing too about being out at McAlpine is there are a lot of people out there too. So you just kind of feel like you're part of a running community when you're out there running, because you see so many other people running.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you don't mind, list out the neighborhood tours for me.
Yeah. So you've got the Midtown, like in the metropolitan area, Valentine, Robinson Farm, Westside, Rhino Market, Huntersville Business Park, Matthews, McAlpine Park, and the Myers Park Booty Loop.
Nice.
And then all of those can be found on our website via run sign up. But if you just go to www.runcharlotte.com, there's a box that you'll be able to click, and it'll just be neighborhood tour. And you can just click on that, and it'll take you to run sign up, where you can see all the info on it.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
We set this up so that they're short distances, but you know, we don't, it's like, hey, do you really want me to drive all the way up to Huntersville to run a 5K? Well, you can run it two or three times, or you can branch off. You don't have to run these courses. These are just suggested. Here's a 5K or a 4 miler or something that's, you know, a fairly low bar. But if you're the guy that gets up every morning and likes to run 8 miles, you know, figure out an 8 mile loop up there. There's probably plenty of routes on Strava or other resources that are available.
Yeah, I love it. This is a great way to get people, allow people to stay engaged with running with the COVID-19 pandemic changes that we're all dealing with. So can you talk a little bit about the virtual races? Can you talk about the bigger running events that have gone virtual?
Well, you know, there are... Boston Marathon, that's probably the biggest one that's gone virtual this year. Yeah. And, you know, they're typically somewhere in the 30,000, 35,000 participants. And you got to qualify to get into Boston. So it's not like you can just defer to next year and make that work, because there's a whole new wave of people that, if there are marathons to qualify, that'll qualify for next year. So, you know, there are a lot of them. There are marathons every day right now that are opting to go virtual this year. You know, our desire is, so I'll say this, you know, for virtual, we think part of what you pay for when you come to a live event is the experience. And with virtual, you might not get all of that. So I'm not sure, you know, our pricing strategy is to be a little lower than what a Saturday morning race would be, because you probably don't get as much value in return. We still want to do a t-shirt and a medal and give you something to commemorate it. We kind of have this saying that the bling is the thing, and you'd be surprised what people would do for the next coolest medal. So we want to make sure there's a cool medal and a cool t-shirt to commemorate. But for us, it's, you know, just finding a different angle that, would pique someone's interest and make them think about, hey, I really think I ought to go out and participate.
Yeah.
You know, so for us, the next, you know, we've got our six pack series that we're still hoping to produce. We've got the marathon in November. We've put together health and safety guidelines and manuals to produce these events. But it's really not up to us. It's up to, you know, the governing authorities, who are either going to allow or disallow us to have the event. So, you know, part of the challenge is trying to figure out how soon can we get a yes or no on some of these, so we know, you know, we just don't want to mislead people and say, hey, sign up, we're going to have it, and then
right,
find out a week before that you can't have it, and they kind of knew all along. So we're trying to be proactive with our conversations.
So with the six pack, you've got the Shamrock 4-miler, American 4-miler, the Greek Festival 5K, Hit the Bricks, it's a 10 or a 5K,
yep.
Lake Norman 15K or 5K, and then Rocktoberfest, and that's a half marathon, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so Shamrock has already happened, and you know, unfortunately, we had to cancel that 36 hours before. You know, so it was a Thursday late afternoon, and the race was Saturday morning, and that was just the week that literally everything kind of blew up. You know, the NBA canceled their season or postponed stuff, and so many other large events did as well. So the next one we're planning is the 4th of July American 4-miler at Midtown Metropolitan. And so we've submitted a proposal to a couple of different government authorities saying, here's how we think we can do this and do it safely. We've tried to reduce every possible touch point so that, I mean, if you think about the NASCAR race where the drivers show up, they do the race, and they get out of their car if they win and nobody's there. That might be what happens. But the good news is you got to come out, you got to compete, you got to see everybody and wave. And so yep. There might not be all the pop and circumstance and the event, but there will be a competition and an event, we hope. And so we're hoping to have an answer as soon as possible on that. We just don't want to wait until June 26th and find out that, you know, phase three is going to be put off and you still can only gather 25 people at a time outside. We just feel like that's kind of an arbitrary number, and it really depends on how much space. I mean, if you're talking about 25 people on, you know, 10 acres of land, well, that's kind of a sparse crowd. But if it's, you know, in somebody's driveway, that's pretty crowded. So we're trying to be practical about it and just see if we can offer some ideas and solutions that can be considered. I think the important thing is that the event business is part of the tourism and travel industry. I mean, as much as, you know, it's special events, it's not, it's something that happens, and the vendors are the DJs and the equipment companies and the security and the contract labor that comes and helps set up and tear down. And all of these people are just dying to get back out and look for more work. And if we can find, even if it's say, hey, we're going to limit our crowd to 500 at American. If we can put a stake in the ground and say, let's try it with 500 people and put these things in place and see what we can learn. And hopefully we do it safely, but if we can do it safely and we can learn some things, then maybe we can start to open up some other events and try to get this sector of the economy back open. But it's not going to happen until we have the first one and we learn and we're willing to take risks and we feel like we're the right industry for that. You know, we're demographically, you know, we're a little bit younger. We're not skewed older, you know, 60 and older. You don't see a lot of folks coming out to run these events. We're healthy, very active. So, you know, immune systems are good. So even if we did contract it, and hopefully we don't, but even if we did, we're not in that target group that would be really at risk for suffering some dire consequences.
Yeah. And the big piece, obviously, it's an outdoor event. It's kind of like, you know, neighborhood community pools, you know, they have guidelines and they're adhering to those guidelines and people feel pretty safe, you know, by not, hopefully not contracting.
Sure. COVID. So if normal capacity at a pool is 100 and you can put 50 in there because it's 50% capacity, well, now you've got a group of 50 people in a fenced area. Well, why can we only do 25 then in other places?
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not being critical at all.
No. It's just it's like, okay, well,
this is new to all of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we can start to think about, what are ways in which we can do this and do it safely, then I think we've started conversations and hopefully we can start to get going back in the right direction.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I hope so. So, run for your life, how's business?
Yeah, it's, you know, we're, we're up quite a bit. We're still making up for lost ground from when we were shut down. We still did some curbside pickup and home deliveries. But by and large, it was a pretty tough 6 weeks of being shut down and we had to furlough our team. But, you know, by and large, we're back and, you know, the stores are doing great. We're still not back to full hours and probably won't be for quite a while, but we're 10 to 7 Monday through Friday and 9 to 5 on Saturday. I think one or two of the stores is 10 to 6 Monday through Friday, but Midtown's 10 to 7. But people are coming in. They want to get fit. They want to get outside and be active. And so I'm a goal oriented person. You know, if I say, well, I'm going to start a running program or I have to have a goal. I have to have something that I'm working towards. It's just the way my mind works. So that's part of the reason we started the neighborhood tour. It's like, all right, if we can give you 6 reasons to go run in the next 6 weeks, we've got you 6 times, right? So you're going to do 6. And maybe in between you can fill in some pockets from there. And so
I'll bring my daughters in. Both of them are doing cross country. Hopefully there won't be any changes when school, you know, picks back up in August with respect to cross country, you know, school cross country.
Yeah.
So, well,
I think that's,
you guys are always so nice to us when we come in.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think the non-contact sports are the easier ones, you know, tennis, track and field, cross country. You know, when you get into the contact sports, it becomes, you have to think a little bit more about some of the dynamics of that. But look, there's a lot of smart people out there and there are a lot of people that want to make this happen. I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't want it to happen.
Right.
But I think we need to figure out how to do it in a safe manner.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Good stuff, guys. Well, thanks for popping in and chatting here on the Charlotte Community Talk podcast. Jeffrey?
Jeff.
Okay. Because I saw on your caption it says Jeffrey. I just want to make sure if you like go by Jeff, then I'm going to go with Jeff. So with that, we have Jeffrey Cooper and Tim Rhodes with Run Charlotte Neighborhood Tour. We appreciate you guys being here today and sharing all the great information about the neighborhood tour and the other aspects that we covered. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for
having us.
Appreciate
you having us.
Thanks, guys. And I'll definitely come see you at the store if you're ever there. But look forward to plugging into some of these neighborhood tours.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Charlotte Community Talk, brought to you by Pridemore Properties. For more information and for more podcasts like this, check them out at pridemoreproperties.com.